Good morning, Blind Cool Tech. This is Christian Waywell recording a review on Tuesday. Let me just check. Oh crap, I can't because it's not letting me. The Tuesday, the 13th of June 2006, at just gone 11 a.m. Today we're going to be, I've just taken delivery of something. We've opened the box just to save a bit of time, but I haven't took anything out yet. This is a cassette CD recorder. It's made by a company called Coomber Electronics, C-O-O-M-B-E-R. It's British made. The model I have is the 6031. Now this device is a real-time CD recorder. You can record with microphones, and you can also have it plugged into an external source such as a keyboard or a mixing console or anything like that. I was going to review it when I first got it on the 7th of June, but there was a problem with it. There was a fault on it, and so I had to go back. Well, it's come back from having the fault corrected, hopefully. So let's take a look at what's in the box. Open the lid, and there is here a Coomber product guide, 6031. There's a little thing here, I don't know what that's about. We're going to lift the machine out of the box. It's in here, it's all intact and ready to go. It's got a bit stuck, but here we go. Right, what do we have? Well, we have a cassette unit comprising of twin CD drives, which actually I think look like Sony's. The computer drives by the look of them. Okay, the unit itself is quite nice actually. The tape deck feels like it's been... Yes. Well, we look like we've got a good piece of kit here. Okay, in the bottom of the box we have a remote control. I cannot get out of its kind of lovely stuff that goes... Oh, it won't do it. Wait a second. Just unwrap all that and get the remote out of it. There we go. Oops. This is all good stuff. Ouch. That didn't sound too healthy. Right. We've got the remote control. Luckily for me, guess what? We've got some batteries. So let's put some batteries in. And then we will try doing something with the remote, with the machine. So I'm now opening the controller. There we go. And I'm putting the batteries in the remote. Incidentally, the remote control is kind of like your average sort of hi-fi remote. It takes two AAA batteries, and I have to say that it's very nice. So I've got the machine here, and what we've got is a cassette player on the top, which I've just put a tape in. The speakers face backwards. It's designed to use in a classroom, but I bought it because I can use it for recording CDs with. On the top, as I said, there's the cassette unit. It's a flat cassette. It's sort of mounted on the top, and it looks like it's been, the cassette deck is what's been repaired. It looks rather nice, I have to say. Yeah, it has. It's a different deck on it. Nice. Very nice. Haggart, you're great. Yes, it's had a new deck. Thought as much. Wow. That's cool. Anyway, what you've got is a sloping front, and there's a number of things on the front panel. It's got a flat... the cassette is like your... I'll just talk about the cassette briefly, because it's kind of unusual. The design of the cassette deck is such that when you... tape, the tape's faced with the the fat part of the cassette, where the cassette goes, where the tape meets the heads towards you, so that the tape, the back of the tape with the holes where the right protect holes for the tape is at the back of the unit, and it pushes in, so the back of the tape, the lid opens backwards, it opens from the back, so you feed the front edge of the tape in, a bit like on a hi-fi, you put the tapes in tape down, or tape forward in this case, but you don't load the tapes from the front, you load them from the back end. The hinge on the lid is the opposite way to what it would normally be. So you get a fair idea of what that looks like. On the front machine, on the front of the Kumba 6031, is a control panel which consists of 11, 12 buttons, which are of the like touchpad variety. They feel a bit like a microwave touchpad. They have a kind of a positive click when you press them, the kind of bubble buttons, I call them. They go, just to give you an idea. And there is a, I don't know if you can hear that, like a continuously variable volume control, which acts also as a speed control, a cue control, and other things. To the left of that and the control panel is a screen. It's a smallish screen, I don't exactly know the dimensions, but underneath the screen are four buttons that don't have any labels on them. Again, very positive. They are what they call the soft keys. Now the buttons on the front panel are as follows. Top left is record, then you have below that you've got a rewind, now what is that? Can't quite see what we've got here. You've got things like, you've got record, you've got rewind, play, fast forward, pause, no, stop, pause, you've got cue, speed, bass and treble. You've got open, close, menu, and power at the bottom. It goes menu, open, close, and power. So, that pretty much describes the layout of the frontage. So, what does it sound like? Well, we'll go to that in a moment when we've described the left-hand panel. On the left of the machine is a kind of a, what I call a patch point, a patch bay. And this has got various inputs and outputs on it. It's just a flat panel, and there's two microphone inputs, a line out, a line in, and then below that there's six headphone outputs. You might be thinking, Christ, why do you need six? Well, because this machine was designed for a school, the idea behind it is so that children and students can actually plug headphones into the side and you can have six different feeds. I bought it for the CD recorders, which I'll now talk about. On the front, below all the controls, is a flat piece. And on the flat panel, there are two CD drives. They look like Sony's, incidentally. I'm not sure whether they are. They look like computer CD drives, actually. Both of these are CD recorders. Now, what this means is you can do various things, which we'll talk about later. You can do copy CDs with it, you can do CD to CD, you can record to CDs from cassettes, you can record from cassette to CD, CD to cassette, you can record a microphone input to a cassette and a CD, or either or both. You've got lining inputs, so if I want to connect my Yamaha Tyros to this thing, I can. Haven't tested that. As I say, I had a fault on it when I first got it, so I sent it back to Hager and sent it back to Kumba directly, and they've sorted it out by the look of things. Good on you, Kumba. Good customer service. Now, what is on this thing that's so remarkably special that I'd want it? Well, the fact is, the reason why I bought this is because my dad likes to listen to cassettes. He's got a lot of old cassettes, and we want to really kind of restore them to get them onto CD rather than have them on cassette. And to be fair, this machine will do that. This machine will allow me to take a cassette and install the contents to a CD, which is a lot easier than trying to... Yeah, I mean, you could buy a commercial system from, I don't know, Marantz or somebody like that. It would cost you a hell of a lot more than what this cost me. Oh, they've included some batteries this time. Thank you, Hagger. I mean, whoever you are. You didn't include those last time I got the thing. But, well, they have now. So, that's kind of cool. I'll put them to one side. I already had a set of batteries for the remote, but I'll put these in the drawer, because I'll use them later. I didn't know they were there, but hey, never mind. Basically, pardon me, I'm drinking a cup of tea here. Basically, this machine is going to allow me to do quite a lot of stuff. It's going to allow us to record a lot of stuff to cassettes and the like. From to CDs and the like. So we're going to plug this in now. And somebody just came online. I don't exactly know who it was. I'm using the new Andre Lewis sound scheme. For those of you who haven't got it, www.AndreLewis.com. It's actually Andre Lewis, but George pronounces it Andre Lewis, but it's actually Louis. So AndreLewis.com, and go download the sound scheme. Okay, so let's talk about the cabling, the power cable here. It's not exactly long. It's not short either. It's probably at least 6 foot long by the look of it. Captive plug, rubber plug, fixed to the wire. So if you need a new plug, you have to basically cut the thing off. But looking at the plug, it's actually quite a good plug, so you wouldn't need to do that. It's going to reach where I need it. I'm going to plug it into my thing on the floor here. I've got a multi-power... You guys in America like to call them power strips. So I'm going to plug it into the power strip, and I'm going to move the iRiver. I'm going to move the iRiver down a bit of it so you can hear it. There we go. Right, let's plug it in. Ow. Let's plug it in. Powering up, and it sounds like the tape deck's doing its thing. Let's see. Whoa, it works. Right, let's introduce a bit of, this is on a tape. It's my old sound card from years ago. Right, whoops, wrong one, sorry. There's some bass. Treble. There we go. So you can cue and review a cassette like this with the fast forward. Let go of it. I can go backwards like that. If I pause the tape and pause it, and then we press pause again. Listen to the smoothness. That is a seriously smooth tape deck. Take the bass. I'll show you. Quite a lot of volume there. That's no bass at all now. No treble. What happens, generally, let's put the bass on, put the treble back on, because it sounds pretty naff without it. There we go. Alright. The tape deck on this is absolutely brilliant. It's full auto stop. It's got what they call a turns counter, your number counter. I don't use that, but it's got it on. The CD drives, let's open one up. There you go. They're really nice, actually. So, turn it on. and you just heard it go. That means it's kind of powering up. It's saying on the screen, we've got the screen up now, and it's saying no disc. And what you've got, I'm going to go into the menu by pressing the menu button. You've got two options in the menu at the moment. When there's no CD in, you've got record settings and other settings. So if I press button four, let's go into the menu again. In other settings, you got a few decent things. You got speaker options. Can't read what that one says. It says kind of loads of things in it. Erase. A keypad remote lock. Display settings. And service info. So I'm going to go into settings. And in settings, in display settings, you can change the contrast. You can invert the display and you can turn the backlight off. Now I'm going to invert the display. There we go. I can now see what I'm doing. You can turn the screen so from being sort of white on black on grey to being kind of grey on black or dark grey, whatever, which is kind of a useful function for me at any rate. Let's have a look in record options. What's in the record options menu? Now, in record options, you've got record level. There's quite a few things in there. I haven't really mastered where everything is yet, so just bear with me. Two microphones is stereo. You can change how it kind of records. Microphone sensitivity. And dual disc record mode. Now what you can do in the dual disc record mode is you can record to one disc. You can record to two CDs simultaneously. So if you're doing a really, really priceless recording that you want to keep and you want to absolutely make sure that that kind of will work, the twin disc record function is what you would need to use. You also have what they call continuous recording. Now what that does is it's essentially a way of it records to one disc at a time, but because this machine has twin drives, you can actually put two CDs in here and you can have it record on one, and then when it gets to the end of that, it switches CDs and it starts recording on the second one. So that's basically that. If I get a CD, I'm going to get an audio CD out of my hi-fi, and I'll show you a few of the functions from there. Now, I'm not going to demonstrate recording to a CD because I haven't got a CDRW handy, but I will show you some of the playback functions which this does have. Now, a lot of what's in here is pretty standard stuff. You've got, so let me open the tray. Oh dear, it's opening the wrong one. Opening the wrong bloody tray. Now it's opening the right one. Put the CD in there. Whoa, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. So let's close the tray and we wait a second or two, and the player says loading on the screen. Now it's now told me there's 18 tracks and the CD runs for 61 minutes 48. Now this basically, the functions on here are very similar to a CD player. Right, the buttons on the top, as I was saying, the one I didn't know what it was for is actually AB. Now that allows you to switch between the two CD drives. It goes record AB, and I think the top one is Q, Yes, it is. I'll talk about that in a minute. And then it goes, on the next line, it goes rewind, play, pause, fast forward, speed. And then you've got stop and bass treble. And on the bottom line, you've got menu, open, close, and stand. Menu, open, close, and standby. So the layout of the buttons is pretty logical. You don't really need to go into the menus to do a lot of things on this. You can, if you want to get into serious recording with this, you can do that. There's not a problem there at all. It will cater for blind users quite well, because if you really want to change something, you maybe need to get, if you've got some sight, you'll be able to do it, because you can put a magnifier over it, or if you've got an opticon, you can use it with an opticon. For those of us that don't have that, the menu layout actually is kind of cool. When a CD is in, you get more options. The menus go from, it goes record is the top. It always starts you. If you're in a menu and you press, if you've been in a menu and you press the menu button, it will actually start you in the menus at the top. The menus wrap. I've just discovered the menus actually wrap. But if you make a mistake, pressing menu will take you all the way out without changing a setting. Unless you change the setting. If you don't know where you are, just press menu and you bounce back to the main screen. You can be in a sub-menu, two or three levels down, and it will just jump you straight out. You're back at the main screen. You don't have to really mess around. So, if I press menu, we've got record menu. We've got record settings, playback options, copy functions, and other settings. So let's press, what you can do, in copy CD, you've got copy disc. Copy or splice tracks in that option, so you can do quite a bit. In the playback menu, this is pretty standard stuff. You've got repeat, you've got program, you've got random and intro, so they're pretty like CD player-ish functions. There's not really much to say about the record functions, because I've talked about those really. You can change like two microphones record. You can change record level to automatic or manual. I personally use manual. You can set it up to work in stereo. We go into the two microphones option, and you've got in there, it's a sub menu. Excuse the bird. That's quite nice. You've got two microphones is stereo, or two microphones is dual mono. By default, it always starts on dual mono. This is something I should add. If you have been using this machine and you power it down, no settings are saved. So if you cock it up, turning it off and restarting it will actually restart the system to the previous state it previously was in. So if you've been, say like me, I've had the invert option, I've enabled invert on my screen so I can see it, turning it off into standby like I just did and re-enabling it will actually put the screen back to the default, which it has done. That isn't a problem, as long as you know it does that. It's easy to go and change, which I'm doing now. There we go. You exit the menus. You can press either on this machine, when you're in a menu, the soft keys are as follows. 1 and 2 is up and down. 3 is cancel. 4 is the positive action. 4 is to the right, the very end of the screen. So from left to right, 1, 2, 3, 4. So let's now talk about the CD player functions. I'm going to play my Mike Oldfield CD. Just to give you an idea, I'm going to put the bass and the treble back on so they sound good, like so. When you've changed an option such as bass and treble, leaving it for 10 seconds after you've adjusted it will revert you back to the main screen. So I'm now going to press play, and you'll see just how fast it comes on. Play. Here we go. Now, the Q and speed functions. Q allows you, if I press Q, it's a bit like on a cassette. You can skip through by turning the dial. So let's go back to the start of the track. Press Q again to come out of that. If I press the speed button now, I can turn the dial and you've changed the speed and the pitch of the CD. It has the pitch range. Hang on. It's gone back to, turn that back to, there again. Now that's the normal range. It goes from there. It can either go down to here. No, it doesn't. Why is it not working? I'm pressing the wrong button. That's the lowest range. That's the highest. Put it back to the middle. For those of you who listen to audiobooks and like to speed them up slightly, that's the range you've got. And that's the slowest. So, I mean, for music CDs, it's not really a good function. But I'm just using it as a demonstration so you can hear the pitch change. I've got no audio books. So, let's show you how fast it is at skipping tracks now. I've changed tracks. And again. And again. I'm not going to play that one because it's Christmassy. Press it again. Press it again. You see how fast it is? Very, very. It's extremely, extremely fast when it comes to changing tracks. There we go. This is an amazing version of Wonderful Land. It really is. Change tracks again. Oh! That's kind of strange. So let's go pressing forward again. Oh, no we don't. Why is it not working? Because I was on the... Yay! For everybody who knows Mike Oldfield, let's put this in the key of F, just for a laugh. Hang on. Okay, sorry about the interruption. Okay, let's stop that again. And try again. My dad just came in to ask me to do something, so... just... Right. Let's go back a bit. There is Moonlight Shadow again. And I'm going to put it in the key of F. Here we go. There you go. Let's put it in E flat. Let's go and put it into E flat now, just to... You can put it in the key of C if you want. But I won't do that. So as you can see, the speed control's got quite a lot of range. I do believe, for what I want, this machine is absolutely fantastic. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go... Right, I'm going to stop that, and I'm going to show you how to copy a CD. So you press AB to change drives, and you press the button to open it, and it opens the right-hand side drive. The music CD is in the left, and the CDRW which I've got a feeling I may need to operate on, is in the right. I may need to erase it just to make sure. There's nothing on it, that's okay. So, this machine is intelligent because what it will do is, if you are in the process of wanting to copy a CD, it doesn't matter which drive you put the music CD into, it will know what you're trying to do. It will know which is source and which is destination. Now in this case, left is source, right is destination. So what you will do, you press menu, and you got to erase copy functions and press on select, which is button 4. Now you've got in here now, because I've got a rewritable CD in, we know it gives you various options in here. We've got erase disc, copy tracks, copy splice tracks. So what you do, you got to down one for copy tracks and press OK. Now it's given me a confirmation, click on button 3, which is accept, and you'll hear the drive start to spin. There we go. It's going to get going in a minute. It's not going as fast as it did the other day. Yes, it is. So it's now copying the CD. So while it's doing that, because we're going to a CDRW, it's going to take some time. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell you a bit about where I got the machine from, contact information about me and such forth. And then at the end, when it's copied the CD, it'll take about a quarter of an hour or so. I will then play a copy of the CD in my hi-fi and the original CD in the Kumba, so you can see how well it copies. I bought the Kumba 6031 from Hagger Electronics. It's www.hagger.co.uk, and they have, if you want to phone them anywhere in the US, can buy stuff from them because they'll adapt it according to what's needed. They've got an international phone number, everything you need is on the website for those guys. Kumba, they also have a website, which is www.coomber.co.uk. I believe they supply as well. If you have a problem with the machine, like I did with my tape unit on there, they will actually take it back and do a repair or whatever. They're very, very good. They're very, very fast. As I say, I've had the thing. I actually got it on the 7th of June, and it's returned to me today on the 13th, which is pretty damn good going. I sent it in on the 8th. It's been away exactly 5 days. I just got it back this morning, very prompt. Thanks to Kumba for that. The repair service is pretty good too. They just changed out the tape deck for one that was compatible, or that's working. The machine is modular. I'll describe a bit about the machine, how the internals of it work. It is a modular design. They basically do four models. You have the 6020, which is a single CD writer only. The 6021, which is single CD writer plus tape. The 6030, which is dual CD writers and no tape. And the 6031, which is the version I have with the CD writers and tape. It was expensive. It run me about £400 or so. But it is a good machine. It's going to serve me well. And to be fair, Hagger are a great company to buy things from. For those of you looking to buy in the UK who haven't got an Edirol R9 yet, Hagger do sell the Edirol R9. Or they will be doing soon. In fact, I will probably go now and just check their website without just not bother loading jaws because I can't be bothered. Let's go and have a look here. Here we go. Let's have a look at Haggar's site here. See what they're selling. They may have it on voice recorders. And these guys are, yes, the catalog number for this machine from Haggar. They're showing the single deck one. You can buy it without VAT, the single CD deck. HCO, I think this is for the basic model. I'm not sure which one they're pricing this on. It was £308.90 for the they state that that looks like it's the version, I think that's the version with the twin, with the tape and a single CD. Okay, they haven't got the Edirols on their website yet. They sell the Book Courier and the Book Port for those interested. It's Haggar Electronics are a good company, as I say. I've bought a few things from there. I bought an APH Mark II handy cassette, and I bought my Sonus digital radio, which I love, I have to say. It's a nice piece of kit. My thoughts on this CD drive so far. It's a universal thing. I don't know whether it will copy data CDs, but it will certainly copy audio CDs for backups. If you want a backup of a CD for whatever reason, you're going on holiday and you don't want to take an original, you can copy it, take the copy. Or if you've got a lot of CDs and you want to keep one, for those of us that can, like my mum, she drives a car, and as we all know, she's got this Honda CRX, and what we've done is we've used the computer to copy CDs that we like, and we keep the originals at home and we have the copies in the car. So if the CDs get stolen out of the car, we've only lost the copies and not the originals, which is kind of cool. That's the reason why you would want to copy a CD. If you haven't got a CD, obviously the particular CD you're copying, then it's kind of copyright issues, but for what I use it for, it's kind of cool because you can copy CDs with it. And if you're recording a theatrical performance, say, you can get a couple of decent microphones on it, recording stereo, set it to continuous recording mode, go with a bunch of CDRs or CDRWs, whatever you want to use, it will use either. It's not fussed about that. You then can just basically take a recording of the theatrical performance that somebody that you may know is doing and put it on multiple CDs. You get seamless recording because it doesn't gap, it doesn't leave any gaps when it's doing that, according to the manual. So it's good. It's very good. Who's that just calling my Skype? I don't know, but hey, never mind. I'm not worried about that. Anyway, it is a good all-round piece of equipment. I can be contacted on the Love to Be a Blindy email list. My email address, if you want to contact me personally, is kwewell, which is kwhawell, at, and it's kwhawell, plus.com. I know my email address is kind of weird, but it's the way that it's set up. It's the way that I've set up mailboxes on PlusNet. So, let's have a look now at the progress of the CD copy, which is still going by the sound of it. It does have actually a percentage indicator on it to show how far it's got. And it's doing reasonably well because it's copying to a 4-speed CDR, CDRW. It won't go as fast as if it's copying to a, say, an ordinary CD. A CDR would copy much, much faster. But because I'm copying to a CDRW, it's not doing that well. But that's my own fault, because I'm too stingy to buy some CDRs, so I'm kind of experimenting with it with CDRWs. For those who maybe want to buy one of these, or have kind of looked at the review that Mary Emerson did, which was to do with the Adonix CD-DVD duplicator, when you first get one of these things, I advise to kind of experiment with CDRWs just to make sure that you know what you're doing and that it's going to do what you want it to do and that kind of thing. It's a good all-round machine. It's capable of quite a lot. Because it's designed for a classroom, you may be thinking, well, the speakers are in the wrong place because they're around the back. It doesn't really detract from the sound quality all that much. I mean, I generally don't play CDs on it all that often, but if I wanted to speed up something, if I'd got something I needed to speed up, then it will let you do that. If you prefer to speed up the actual speech but don't change the pitch, this machine will not do that. As you heard, it will actually do the, it will shift the pitch as well. So somebody would, for people that don't mind doing that, that's got multi-speed CD tape decks, then that's fine. You cannot do this speed thing to the tape. The speed change only affects CDs. The tape deck on this doesn't have very speed. It's kind of a bit of a shame, because it would be handy if it did, but that's just one of the drawbacks. There's probably not enough room on the machine, and it's probably not a tidy thing to actually do to it, so they haven't done. So, you know, it's good. I like it. It's a good machine. It's, as I say, there's four different models, so depending on your needs, you can choose the appropriate model. Depending on whether you've got a single CD or dual CD, depends on whether you get the copy functions or not. The firmware is the same, regardless of which drive you get, which model you get. They all use this unified firmware. It's actually been written in-house at Hager, Coomba, sorry. It's their own in-house firmware. So you're getting a pretty good thing. It's all customized firmware. It's easy to use, as I said. I like it. It's certainly, it's maybe expensive for some of you, but I'm hoping eventually to have a music studio, so what I'd like to think I can do is use this for CD duplication, as well as like mastering to CD with it, because it will allow me to do that. I could master straight to a CD with it. I think, I don't know about mastering to a CD, but it will certainly allow us to copy CDs and bounce a whole session down to a CD, which is kind of useful. Depending on what I end up getting in terms of actual hardware, at the moment I've got my Tyros and I've got this recorder. Depends on really whether I shall use it for that. But the good thing about that is, as some of you would know, been into music and things, you generally like to try and play back your mixes on as many different items of hardware that will play CDs as you possibly can, to get a feel for the sound of your mix, whether it's bass light, bass heavy, whatever. You just want to do that, because I mean, these machines, as you heard, it's got a fantastic sound for what it is. It really has. It's brilliant. Anyway, the CD copy's going along nicely, and I have to say, I'm pleased with the machine. I'm really happy with it. It's gonna do what I want it to do. It's a copier, it's a player, it's a real-time recorder. So if I want to record some of this gorgeous bird song that's out my window, I could do quite easily by connecting a microphone. The microphones and headphone jacks are the, what do they call them? Quarter jacks, quarter inch jacks, I think you call them in America. They are, the inputs and outputs for the line in and line out are on RCA phono jacks. The microphones, there's two of them. They don't supply either plug-in power or phantom power. If you're running a plug-in power microphone on this thing, if you've got something like the Sony ECMZ60, or any of the Sony CMZ series that actually will run with plug-in power. If you've got a power box, one of the little plug-in power units with a battery, you can plug that in. If it's got a 3.5 inch 3.5 mil jack, you can convert that to if it's got an eighth inch jack, I think that's what they are, we call them 3.5 millimeters. If you've got those and you want to use it with this deck, you'd need to convert it to quarter inch jacks, which you can buy the converters from any electrical store that will do that. That would allow you to do kind of pretty much anything. As I say, it's a versatile machine. The controls, once you get used to the controls and how they operate, it's kind of useful. What happens generally is, if you've pressed, say, by default, your rotary control, there's only one rotary control on this thing, on the front, it's on the right hand end, that by default acts on the volume. In order to change its function to, say, change the speed, or to change the cue, to change the cue position, or to adjust bass, treble and balance, you press the appropriate button and then turn the dial within 10 seconds, with the exception of Q. The Q function stays active however long you're on it. If you activate Q and you turn the dial, if you can leave Q active, you cannot use the fast forward and rewind buttons on the CD deck to actually, if you know how normal CD players are, you hold them down and they skip through the tracks. This doesn't do that. That's what the Q function does. It's actually better because you can turn it as fast or as slow as you like to find the exact spot on the CD that you're looking for. It's useful. The machine, the spec of the drives may vary. They are a 52 speed CD writer. They're a computer CD writer, so the make model of drive may vary from machine to machine. Mine, I believe, they look like Sony's, but they may not be. I don't know. There's a few manufacturers using similar drives technology now, so the make model could be anything. I will go into the system properties when the CD copy is finished, and I'll see if I can find anything on the make and model of the drives in this. They are a twin set. Right, if you got one of these and it comes with a volume control on the CD drive and a headphone jack, they are disabled due to the way that it plays CDs. It's done digitally. Right, we're coming to the end of the CD copy. You hear the drive slowing down. There she goes, it's stepping down. Any second now it'll come down again. You'll hear the drive automatically open. The drive on the right will automatically open. The one on the left is actually finished. The one on the right is now writing table of contents. The one on the left has just come down again. So, when this is finished writing the TOC, the table of contents, the right hand drive will open. The left hand drive totally stopped. Now the machine I don't know what's happening here. I don't know why it hasn't opened the tray, but it hasn't. But that's kind of cool. Anyway, I thought it did. I'm sure the other day when I did it, it opened it. Looking at something. Let's just see which drive this is going to play from. Now, it's going to play from the right. I'm going to play from the left.
Well, that's not really beneficial to you, so what I'm going to do, I open the right-hand drive, and I'm going to take this over to the hi-fi. So I'm going to switch back to the left-hand drive. I'm going to try, and I'm going to try and get them to work together so you can hear them. So I'm now putting a CDRW in my hi-fi, which actually takes them. And I'm going to try and start them at the same time. So I'm going to get the CDRW over in the hi-fi. I'll stop that there. I'm now going to play this one. I'm going to do them a tiny bit ahead of each other so that you can hear there's actually two going. Turn the volume up on that. Distinct sounds there. That one's still playing. That's in the Coomba. So I go over to the hi-fi. I've got a CDRW in there. We're going to play that. So as you can hear, that's actually made a perfect copy of the said Mike Oldfield CD, which is actually in the drive. It's in the Coomba itself. So this is kind of cool because you can do this kind of thing. Not that you want to play two versions of the same song at the same time, but hey, yeah, well, I was just doing it to demonstrate. Okay, I'm going to put the CD back in. Stop the song. Open the CD tray. Now you can open the tray from the controls on the drive. It says that you don't, that they don't actually work, but they do. You can do that. What it basically means is you're supposed to, if you want to eject the CD that's currently got focus, by that we mean, why won't it? Oh dear, it's not letting me do that. Oh, whoops. Oh, it is. If you're doing continuous recording, you will have to use the buttons on the drives. But if, like, say, like I was doing a few minutes ago, I'm just gonna show you something. It's just making a slight noise. That's just the machine. It's kind of got two drives running, you see. So operation is virtually silent. There's a bit of a purr when it's running. But it's nothing compared to what computers do. I mean, when it's running the CD drive for copying, it does make a lot more noise than when you're actually playing or recording. As I was saying about the AB button, you can open each drive individually with the buttons on the drives. Or you can use the AB button to change between the two drives and open the appropriate drives with the open close button on the machine. It is advisable if you've written a CD and you need to, what they call, fix it. A fixing is Coomba's name for finalizing. You must use the open close button provided by Coomba, not the one provided by the drive. This will ensure that the machine knows that you want to fix the CD. It gives you the option whether you want to do or not. But you must use that if you're going to try you must use the open close button on the front panel of the actual machine to enable the machine to know that you want to fix the CD. If you open the drive with the controls on the drive, the software inbuilt on the machine doesn't know that you've opened it. Well, it does. It senses it's been opened, but it knows it's not been opened by itself, by its own signal to the drive, so it won't ask you to fix it. The result being that the CD will not play in any other drive. It'll play in a computer and it'll play in this, but it won't play in the CD player until said disc has been fixed or finalised. So there's a point to note. At the moment, we're erasing a CDRW, which I've just done. Doesn't take long to do on this machine. It's quite fast. It doesn't do a full erase. If you want to do a full erase on a CDRW, my advice is to do it with a computer. It's much, much easier. As I say, the drives themselves are absolutely phenomenal. They really are completely awesome. They just work really well. It's a beautiful, beautiful machine. And I personally would recommend any of you guys that are into this kind of thing, that want something that will allow you to do what I'm trying to do with this, to get the most out of it. This machine is an absolute corker. So, without further ado, I will take the CDs out, and I'm using the button on the front of the control panel rather than the drives to do this. It just makes it a bit easier. And I will go and sign off. Hope that this recording has come out reasonably well and that there's been no major hiccups. I want to apologise for earlier on when I was going to demonstrate the speed control, when my dad came in. I do apologise for that. Anyway, my contact details I've been given earlier on in this recording. It's kwaywell, kwhawell at kwaywell, kwhawell, for those of you who are not familiar with the spelling, .plus.com. I hope this recording has been of use, and I hope you guys on Blind Cool Tech enjoy this. Please feel free to contact me if you want to know any more. I won't mention the remote control because I haven't actually used it, but it does only, what I will mention about it, and this is from the manual, it does not provide access to the cassette. The cassette is mechanical, it's not an electromechanical, it's not one of these fancy solenoid driven things like what's on my hi-fi that go like that. It's just a standard deck. You press the play button down and it stays down. It's not using touch sensitive controls, so you're not going to get control over that. But it will play CDs, it will erase CDs, it will do recording functions and all the things you need to do with CDs. So the prognosis of the machine is good. You'll find that there's a lot of functions there. I've done my best to actually mention it. If you need to know any more, as I say, please contact me. I'm always happy to answer questions, and if I find out anything about the machine that I don't currently know, I will do a further podcast on it if people want me to. I've got no problems doing that. I want to just say thanks to Stuart Lawler for doing the Tyros addendum. For showing it from his point of view, I do appreciate that. It was a good overall review. You actually showed a few bits that I didn't. I'm not the best keyboard player and I didn't want to embarrass myself, but I'm glad that somebody's took the plunge and actually done that, because it deserves to be played. The Tyros deserves to be used and played, and you know, to be fair, Stuart, you did a great job. I don't know if you'd actually seen my Tyros review up on Blind Cool Tech, but if you haven't, check out what I did. I was using the demos and things just to show what the actual sound was like, to give an idea of the sounds on it and a few of the styles and this, that and the other. Anyway, I'm going to now sign off and say that I hope you found this useful. thanks to everybody that I know on the Blind Cool Tech list and people I know in person, and I will hopefully hear from you all soon. This is Christian Wehwell signing out.